WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air.
From NBC Studios in New York, it's Late Night with Conan O'Brien.
If you ask me, the best late-night theme belongs to Conan O'Brien Show. The band is led by drummer Max Weinberg, formerly of Bruce Springsteen's E Street Band. The first record Weinberg made with Springsteen was Born to Run, the album which landed Springsteen on the cover of Time and Newsweek in October 1975. Weinberg stayed with Springsteen until the E Street Band broke up in 1989. Weinberg says that when he was growing up in the 50s, trying to find his own beat, he listened to every drummer he could. Now he pays tribute to his favorite rock and roll drummers of the 50s, 60s, and 70s in a new CD series that he produced called Let There Be Drums. The series shows off the work of other drummers, but on one track you can hear Weinberg playing with Springsteen. It's one of Weinberg's favorite tracks he's ever recorded. It's called Candy's Room.
Candy's Room, lyrically, is one of the romantic, most romantic songs I've ever heard. Drumistically, it was always fun to play. It's a single-stroke roll, which, not to be too technical, is just something I played on the snare drum. Mm-hmm. And it created a lot of inner tension in the music. And then in the middle of the song, the so-called middle eight, I go to another part of the drum set and it releases the tension. So I always try to play the drums as if I was the sort of landscape that the action took place on. And I think in Candy's Room, I accomplished that.
Well, why don't we hear Candy's Room from your new anthology, Max Weinberg Presents Let There Be Drums.
There's a sadness hidden in that pretty face, a sadness all her own, from which no man can keep candy safe. We kiss, my heart rushes through my brain, and the blood rushes in my veins, the fire rushes through the sky. Driving deep into the night, I go driving deep into the light. Candy's eyes, she says, baby, if you wanna be wild, you got a lot to.
Well, I want to talk with you a little bit later about your years with the Bruce Springsteen band, but I want to talk about what you're doing now. Now you're heading, you're leading the band on Late Night with Conan O'Brien. How'd you get to be the drummer on Late Night?
I actually met Conan in the street shortly after he was tapped for the gig. And we were talking about music, and I was interested in pursuing something like that. And one thing led to another, and we hit the air on September 13th. And it's been a fantastic situation ever since.
So you talked him into hiring you when you met him on the street?
Well, I didn't really talk him into it. He had his own very definite ideas of what he wanted, he along with the producers of the show. And it was kind of aligned with the way I wanted to go. I wanted to become more instrumentally based. I'd certainly put my time in with, playing behind Bruce with the E Street Band. It was a glorious time playing behind one of, you know, my generation's premier singer-songwriters. But as a drummer, I wanted to move away from that type of a situation into an area where I could play instrumental music. That fit in perfectly with what with Conan and everybody up there wanted to do. They wanted to have a band that was fun. So we're playing a sort of new version of jump blues, which was a genre popular in the late 40s and early 50s. It was the precursor to rock and roll. And we throw in a Sinatra tune every once in a while because I'm a fanatic Sinatra fan.
I want to get back to your new Rhino collection. Max Weinberg Presents Let There Be Drums, a three-volume set featuring some of your favorite drumming performances. You have a recording on here featuring Bernard Purdy with Aretha Franklin doing Rock Steady. And you actually studied with Bernard Purdy, didn't you?
Well, Bernard Purdy was the great 60s soul drummer on into the 70s. And he's still playing, of course, who played with everyone from James Brown to Steely Dan to Aretha Franklin, for whom he did his best work, in my estimation. And Rock Steady was one of his standout tracks, recorded in the early 70s. And he sort of defined rhythm and blues and soul drumming in the 60s. He was the premier drummer of that genre and was always one of my favorites. And I sought him out when I was 19 because I'd heard he taught in New York City, and I studied with him for about 3 years, which was more about absorbing his vibe than it was about book studies.
What was the vibe that you wanted to absorb?
I wanted to know and feel how he played so funky.
Uh-huh.
And he showed me, and it was about going to Harlem with him to go to clubs. And one time he took me to see Aretha at the Apollo. And it was as much about absorbing what he considered the things you should stay focused on as it was about, you know, reading books. It was a tremendous experience. And I would say that most beats I play in some way have a lot to do with Bernard Purdy.
Why did you choose Rocksteady for your anthology?
Well, it's just one of my favorite songs. It's also got this little four-bar drum solo in the middle that drummers, since it was recorded, have been trying to figure out how it's played. And Rocksteady, the image of Rocksteady is exactly what Bernard Purdy is. He's Rocksteady. And it's a groove. And, you know, that is all a song has to do.
Well, why don't we hear Aretha Franklin and Rocksteady with drummer Bernard Purdy. Max Weinberg is my guest, and we just heard another selection from his three-volume anthology, Let There Be Drums, featuring some of his favorite drumming performances. We'll be back after this break. This is Fresh Air. Max Weinberg, let's talk a little bit about your years with Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band. From what I know about you, this was your first real gig, I mean, where you had a long, well-paying is underestimating it, but, you know, a real, like, long-term job. Before that, it was real hand-to-mouth, wasn't it?
It was quite the opposite, actually. From an early age, I found a way to be gainfully employed as a drummer, and the way to do that was always be in service of someone else.
Uh-huh.
So I became the kind of drummer at a very early age. I started playing when I was 6. By the time I was 11, I was playing with people much older than me, working every weekend, because I knew what they wanted. They wanted a supportive drummer. They wanted someone to keep the beat.
Who's the they? What kind of gigs were these?
Oh, these were everything from, in the early days, weddings and bar mitzvahs to talent shows, to when I was 14, I played in strip joints.
Really?
I had a very, very well-rounded musical education. Later on, I played cruise ships. I played every kind of job imaginable. I've played for the circus, local circuses that would come to town. I was an all-around drummer. Rock and roll was, of course, my first love. And when I met Bruce and the band in the summer of 1974, it seemed to me as if everything I'd been doing up until that point led me to that place. In 1974, I'd been playing drums already for close to 17 years.
Now, how would playing bar mitzvahs and strip joints and circuses lead you musically to Springsteen?
Well, all those early experiences came out in all the music we played, whether it was an extended jazz sort of jam like we did in Kitty's Back early on, or some of the sort of vaudevillian bits that Bruce and Clarence Clemons would pull out. All that experience created a knowledge in me of how to cut a show, which is what drummers are supposed to do. Or they, at least in my view, that's what they're supposed to do. Cutting a show is being able to play more than just what you want. It's being able to play what other people want. And that's why I was always able to work as a drummer.
How did you meet Springsteen and join the band?
Well, Bruce and the band put an ad in the Village Voice in 1974 looking for a drummer. Looking for a drummer and a keyboard player. And it said, wanted drummer, no junior Ginger Bakers. And Ginger Baker was the legendary drummer of Cream. And he was very flamboyant, and he did long drum solos. And I saw that, and that indicated to me that I was the guy for the job, because he wanted an accompanist. That's what I sensed, and that's what I found out later. At the time, I was playing in the Broadway show Godspell, 8 performances a week, and went down, 60 drummers went down, and I pulled out the job, and it was really love at first sight. You know, it just, it was a fit that just happened great.
You know how Springsteen on stage, well, obviously you know this, how Springsteen on stage would sometimes do this kind of male bonding thing with another one of the musicians. As the drummer, you know, you're stationary and you're in a chair, you know what I mean? You're not, yeah, you're not moving closer to Springsteen and, you know, trading licks with him visibly as well as musically. Is that the kind of thing you'd ever feel comfortable doing if you were in a drummer? Or are you just as glad to be stationary in a chair, you know, on a stool?
No, I never really I felt any lack of communication or closeness, particularly when we played the stadiums. You know, it's interesting, when you're playing for 50, 60,000 people a night on a routine basis, you get very used to playing for that kind of crowd, and it doesn't seem that big.
Mm-hmm.
And our stage, that is the E Street Band stage, was a very intimate place, very intimate. And if you had been dropped down onto that stage, the thing you would have noticed was how relaxed it was.
Mm-hmm.
We were just doing our business, and we did that business the same wherever we played, whether it was in a rehearsal studio, we used to rehearse off Bruce's bedroom, or in Madison Square Garden, or in Giant Stadium in New Jersey. The energy from that band always remained constant.
Why did the band break up?
Well, it was just time for everyone to move in different directions.
Did you feel it was time?
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we had done what we set out to do, and that was very important. We had a real goal, and we accomplished it. And we grew up together. You know, when I met Bruce, I was 23. We broke up when I was almost 39. And, you know, in the beginning, it was a gang. It was a bunch of guys on the road living in cars. And it ended up with all of us having families and new responsibilities and new perspectives. And it was a normal growth pattern. And, you know, we broke up, what, 4 years ago. And, you know, life has been one incredibly blossoming experience after another for me, you know, culminating certainly with, I left drumming for several years to develop other interests. I went to law school briefly. Went to law school briefly. I started a record label. Wanted to explore things that I'd always been interested in, but never had the opportunity to do it. I was fortunate enough to play for the inauguration last year, and it was the first time in a long time that I'd played. I really enjoyed it, and I started to think, well, maybe I should get back into drumming, which I did. And it was almost like that movie Field of Dreams. I just started to play drums again and rediscover what I loved about playing the drums, which was, it's fun.
I want to ask you, I know you used to have tendonitis. Did you get rid of that? Did you have surgery or something that was able to fix it?
I did. I had a bad case of tendonitis in 7 fingers. I had 7 operations. The last one was in 1985, and it's been clear sailing ever since.
That's great.
So you fortunate.
You don't have to soak your hands anymore or do anything like that?
I have to warm up. I have to recognize the fact that drumming is a very athletic endeavor.
Mm-hmm.
When I started and I was 15 and 16, I could play with total wild abandon. I'm 43 years old now. I'm going to be 43 in April. And, you know, as you get older, you feel the aches and pains a little bit more. It's like being a football player. I can kind of relate to Joe Montana.
My guest is Max Weinberg. He leads the band on Late Night with Conan O'Brien. He was the longtime drummer with Bruce Springsteen's E Street Band, and now he's produced a 3-CD anthology paying tribute to his favorite drummers called Let There Be Drums. More after this break. This is Fresh Air. Back with drummer Max Weinberg. I want to get back to your CD, your new anthology, Let There Be Drums, featuring some of your favorite drumming performances. And I want to play something with Al Jackson on it. And we're going to hear Soul Man, which you've included on this. Tell us something about Al Jackson.
Well, Al Jackson, who was senselessly murdered in 1975, tremendous loss to the world of drumming, was the epitome of the less is more school of drumming. He played with Booker T and the MGs. He was the drummer on the great hits like Soul Man, Try a Little Tenderness, Otis Redding, Respect, all that stuff that came out of Memphis in the mid-60s. And I never met the man. I've only talked to people he knew him, and he has really grown into a legendary figure in drum circles. He had the toughest beat around, And I worked briefly in the 80s with a gentleman named Tom Dowd, who's himself a legend as a recording engineer and producer, who worked a lot with Al Jackson. And everyone thought, drummers typically think that Al Jackson's brilliance came from the way he laid back the second and fourth beat, the so-called backbeats. In other words, he played with a tremendous restraint. Tom Dowd once said to me, well, he did do that, but the real secret was that he hit that one and three on the bass drum right on the money every time. And it was a real lesson to me. Every time I listen to Al Jackson drumming, I pick up something new. He is by far the most elegant drummer, I think, in the history of rock and roll.
Although some people might listen and think, big deal, he's not doing anything fancy here.
That's true. They may think that, and they'd be wrong. Well, they'd be right in that he's not doing anything fancy, but they'd be wrong in not appreciating the tremendous subtlety with which he played. And that's a very important part of successful drumming, because you can make an awful lot of racket with a drum set. And to be able to play sweetly and with the kind of brilliance that he exhibited is no mean feat.
Didn't Al Jackson play with Al Green, too?
He did. He played on a lot of the early hits. Yeah, he did. So, Let's Stay Together, I think, is him.
Well, this is Al Jackson on drums. Soul Man. Listening to music from Max Weinberg's three-volume CD, Let There Be Drums, featuring some of his favorite drumming performances. Max Weinberg, something I have to ask you. Your parents owned a summer camp in the Poconos when you were young?
Correct.
What was the camp?
Well, the camp was operated until 1966, and it was called Laurel Lake Camps.
So did you play in a band at summer camp?
Well, I had my band up there, sure, and we played every Thursday and Saturday night for dances.
So you were like the house band of your parents' summer camp.
I was.
God, that's really great. Since you played for so many bar mitzvahs and weddings, who'd you get to play for your bar mitzvah and your wedding?
Well, actually, our group played for my wedding. I got married in 1981, and Bruce was kind enough to ask everybody in the band if to provide the music at my wedding. So we did about a 2 hour set.
And you had a play?
Yeah, and I played at my own wedding. It was great because we had about 350 people there, and it was just a wild party. It was great.
One of the records on your anthology is Wipeout. Even I practiced the Wipeout solo on restaurant tables. Everybody would. Did you do that, or you probably had drums to do that on, right? You got
Wipeout
it.
Was a staple. If you didn't know how to play Wipeout at a high school dance in 1966, you were wiped out, really.
Yeah.
You had to do that. And, it was one of those dumb songs that's just fun to play. You know, we do a warm-up at Conan's show, and somebody called out from the audience a couple of weeks ago, hey, can you guys play Wipeout? We went right into it, and it sounded great.
Well, it's really been a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you so much for being with us.
It's my pleasure. It's good to talk to you.
Max Weinberg leads the band on Late Night with Conan O'Brien. He was the longtime drummer with Bruce Springsteen's E Street Band, and now he's produced a 3-CD anthology paying tribute to his favorite drummers called Let There Be Drums. It's on Rhino Records.